The battle plan called for Chronicle's men, expected to take the longest to get in place, to signal the attack with a native-style war whoop. However, Loyalist Pickett, somewhere along the distant ravine to the left, spot Colonel Isaac Shelby's 120 men from what today is northeastern Tennessee and open fire as they come within range. Provincial Captain Chesney has just returned atop the hill after checking on the pickets. He writes later, "I was in the act of dismounting to report that all was quiet and the pickets on the alert when we heard their firing about a half mile off. The Tory drums beat and officers begin shouting orders." Ferguson forms the Loyalist militia into a long, narrow rectangle. His silver whistles would be heard throughout the battle giving orders. Hurrying here, some of Shelby's men gripe about maybe getting shot before they can get in the fight. He tells them to press on to your places and your fire will not be lost. They probably pass you going uphill to the final part of the rise in the distance. Around 3 p.m., the Patriots begin shouting and soon the sound spreads around the slope. Loyalist Captain Abraham DePaister has heard similar cries and tells Ferguson, "These things are ominous. These are the damned yelling boys." Shelby's men begin their upward climb, firing. Bullets fly in both directions and smoke begins to obscure the trees. Patriots describe a mountain engulfed in gunfire. One writes, "When that conflict began, the mountain appeared volcanic. There flashed along its summit and around its base and up its sides one long sulfurous blaze." Near the top, the Overmountain men are met by a bayonet charge from the Provincials in their red coats in a single line. They have already driven Virginians down the far side of the mountain and turned around to advance on Shelby's men. Ensign Robert Campbell says of his fellow Patriots, "They obstinately stood until some of them were thrust through the body, and having nothing but their rifles by which to defend themselves, they were forced to retreat." Unlike most men on both sides who carry heavier muskets, Shelby's have rifles. These shoot straighter and farther, but are too light to serve as good clubs. The Loyalists descend in formation, fire a volley when halted, and hold their line as they reclimb, reloading as they go. Somewhere ahead of you, Shelby yells, "Now, boys, quickly reload your rifles and let's advance upon them and give them another hell of a fire." After another charge, countercharge, and charge, the Provincials respond again, with Loyalist militia following. During one of the Whig charges, sharpshooter Josiah Culbertson and a few others are ordered to take one area of the hillside held by a group of Tories. They drive them back to a set of boulders where Culbertson shoots their captain in the head and the rest run. The locations of rocks mentioned on this page are unknown. See footnote 39. Three local brothers, the Pattersons, were detained yesterday by Tory foragers and are scheduled to be tried for treason today. Their guards join the fight, so the brothers bolt, one with a noose around his neck. They run through the Tory lines. One arrives in this area, picks up a discarded rifle, and joins Shelby's men. Their father has come looking for them, also joins the fight, and is wounded. Turn around and look toward the bottom of the hill. Shelby's brother Moses is wounded twice. Unable to stand, he is helped to the long branch. He notices one man coming back for frequent drinks and threatens to shoot him if he comes back again. Look the length of two American football fields toward the gap diagonally to the left. Colonel William Campbell of Virginia, elected overall commander of the Patriot Force by the other officers during the march, has brought with him one of the African Americans he holds in slavery. Light-skinned and large, John Brodie resembles his enslaver at a distance. Early in the fighting, Campbell's horse, Baldface, acts up, so Campbell borrows another and sends Baldface back to Brodie. Brodie hops aboard and rides within 200 yards to see what his master and the rest are doing. At least three officers think it is Campbell calmly watching, which causes controversy years later. A marker farther along the trail says troops under Colonel John Sevier of modern Tennessee attacked from this direction. The evidence is unclear, but the strongest seems to be Draper's account of them being on the far side of the mountain. See footnote 55 for an explanation. Follow the walking instructions under A Charge is Mounted and continue to its audio clip.